Good morning and welcome to Hal's Hebrew and Gospel Blog Talk Radio from our studios here in Beatrice, Alabama. I'm your host, Freddie Howard, for the Sunday School lesson for Sunday, September the 27th. Be lesson number 4. Our subject is a revealed love, a devotional reading. We'll be coming from John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 14. Our background scripture will be coming from Genesis, the 43rd chapter, 45th through 1 through 15. We are Antioch Number One Baptist Church there in Tunnel Springs, Alabama, at 45 Church Street, Peterman, 36471. Our telephone number is 251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. Reverend Waylon Olive is our pastor. Sister Joyce Olive is our first lady. And our clerk is us, Miss Lisa Stalwart. We have Sunday school every Sunday, normally at 9:30 a.m., but we are, for the last several months, we have been broadcasting the Sunday School lesson on Facebook, as well as House Hebrew Gospel Blog Talk Radio, located here in 231 6th Avenue here in Beatrice, Alabama. Our studios are located in here, where we do all of our broadcasting and music from. Our worship service is on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sunday. This is the 4th Sunday coming up in this month. And so Sunday services will be tomorrow at 8:30 a.m., normally they are 11 a.m. and they are held, as many churches are, in parking lots and vacant lots throughout this country. We here at Antioch is no different. And we want to thank all of our folks that are with us, that have been listening and enjoying our program. We thank you all. We hope you enjoyed last week's Sunday School lesson. This has been a very interesting, powerful series. Love one another. And it is a struggle with love. It shows the elements of what happens in a family when parents are biased towards brothers and sisters, your siblings. It produced civil rivalry. Man meant it for one way, but God still uses these situations. His plan still goes forward regardless of what some moms and dads do in the family, so forth as produces civil rivalry. Some of these civil rivalries leads to death. In this case, bias love, which was September the 6th, that came out of Genesis. Then Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 2 through 11, as also September 13th, obedient love, that came out of Genesis, the 41st chapter, 25 through 33. Another verse is then September 20, which was last week. Victorious love came out of Genesis, the 42nd chapter, verses 6 through 25. And this September 27th lesson is revealed love. This will be coming out of Genesis, the 45th chapter, verses 1 through 8, 10 through 15. And this lesson unit has been struggling with love, struggles with love. Love is a powerful thing which God has made, but the thing of it is, love has to be in a certain perspective, in a spiritual Christ-like way. Let us begin. Reveal love. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brothers. To quickly captivate and bring you back up to date, Joseph's brothers are down in Egypt to get food because of the famine in the land. But Joseph is now the head person there in Egypt. He runs everything except the kingship of the nation and making sure that everybody has food. And he's a wise person, and God is using him in this manner. And what God is doing also is planting the seeds for a nation. He is planting the seeds for a nation with these series of events. Okay, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. In other words, when his brothers and Joseph are together and they reveal what is taking place and how they tried to kill him and how he put him in a well and the Mennonites sold him into Egypt and how he has come up now. He's the head person there and all kinds of situations that went on in the family, but all the families now, everything is coming to terms and everybody's loving and caring and forgiving and is in a state of thankfulness for what has taken place. But they think these things are taking place in a vacuum, but God has a plan. God has a plan. And let's go to verse 3. And Joseph said unto his brothers, I am Joseph. Doth not my father yet live? First thing he asks about his father. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Look at that. They are in shock about what's going on. Okay. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Oh, look at this. Coming full circle now. Now therefore, this is verse 5. Now therefore, he be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither. Listen to this now. Here's what he said, and quote, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Look at that. To preserve his family life, to preserve people's lives that are hungry all over the world at the time, that are coming to Egypt for food because of the 7-year famine. Let's go to verse 6. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earthling nor harvesting, eating or harvesting. In other words, it is so bad, nothing's going to be happening in 5 years. That's a real famine. No harvesting, nothing going on. All right, let's go to next verse. All right, verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. Look at that. I mentioned earlier that other people were saved, but that was to save God's family. That was to save a nation, the seeds to a nation. God knows how to work things out. We don't know all what's taking place with what God is doing, but God has a plan. Sometimes we get in the way of his plan, but that does not stop his plan. It's still going to go forward. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Look at that, a great deliverance. So now it was not yet that sent me hither. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. God sent him, okay? And he had made me father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. He's telling them about his accolades and about who he is and what his responsibilities are. Great responsibilities indeed. God can use you. I don't care how bad situations get, whatever your situation is, you keep holding on to God's hand. Someday, he will raise you up. Someday, you will stand in victory. Stay with Jesus Christ. All right. In spite of what was going on in Joseph's life, he stayed with Jesus Christ. Even when they put him in the well, even when the Mennonites sold him into Egypt, even all awesome things taking place. Okay, in verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herd, and all thou hast. Look at that. He's telling him that your family will stay here in Goshen, and all that you have and everything that you have will be preserved. This is because of God's plan, all right, for them. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine. Joseph said, I'm going to nourish you. I'm going to take care of you. These are the same brothers that sold him, that put him in a well and hoped that he would die. Oh, these are the same brothers that killed that animal and took that coat off him and put animal blood on him and convinced his father that he was missing. These same brothers. Look who's taking care of them now. Joseph is. And behold, your eyes see the eyes of my brother Benjamin that is in my mouth that speaketh unto you. Oh, look at that. Okay, look at that. I want to go back to 11 again and read it. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and the household and all that thou hast come to poverty. Hey, look at that brother, what he's doing for the rest of the brothers that put upon him. All right, that tried to kill him. All right, let's go to verse number 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. Go get my father. Look at that. God is awfully good. Plans for you and I. God has plans for you. Be faithful. Be not grieved. This is the key verse. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that thou sold me hither. For God did send me before you and to preserve life. Genesis 45 and 5. Okay, let's go to verse 14. And he fell upon his brother's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. They're crying upon each other's shoulder, and their heads are laying in the locks of their shoulders, on their shoulders of their brother. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that, his brethren talked with him. Oh, man. This lesson aim is to prepare the lesson as each learner will be able to recount the occasion on which Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers. We just did that. Explain the inexperience of Joseph understanding God's plan when seeking to reassure his brothers. Explain the importance of Joseph's understanding of God's plan when seeking to reassure his brothers. Joseph understood what God was doing. Planning a nation, preserving a people, his brothers and his fathers, and him is the seed of that new generation that will be coming out of Egypt in the years to come. Plan and implement best steps and action to model love and forgiveness. Oh man, there is a lesson in there for you. Best steps for you to implement the model of love and forgiveness. How about you? Who have you wronged? Are you ready to forgive them? Don't worry about somebody that's forgiving you. That's between God and them. But if you have wronged somebody, forgive them. Restore. All right. Lesson outline. Luke, I'm your brother. Revealing identity. Privacy demanded. He sent all the Egyptian and everybody out of the room, remember? He sent everybody out of the room except the family. Privacy is good. Haven't you had a situation where you needed privacy and you didn't need other people involved in it? You sent them all away. All right. Truth acknowledged. They acknowledged what they did to each other in different situations like that. How many of you are willing to acknowledge what you have done wrong to somebody? Brothers assured. Who do you assure? Do you assure your family of situations when things get out of hand and when they finally come in back together? You assure that I will be there for you. I will take care of you. How about a mom or a dad? They are getting old and they're thinking you're going to put them away in a nursing home or whatever you're going to do. How many of you assure them, okay, I'm going to take care of you? These are spiritual and Christ-like things to do and moral things to do, good things to do. Okay. Relaying instructions to come to Egypt. Go get my father. Bring him to Egypt. The brothers are already there. They've been there two or three times. They've been back and forth getting food. But now he says, go get my father. Bring him to Egypt to confirm his identity. Oh, he's telling them exactly who he is. He shows them who he is. All right. I'm your brother. I'm the one you put in the well. He's confirming his identity with his brother. To convince his father, you got to convince my father to come on down here. Yeah, you got to convince my father. Sometimes you have to convince people to do things that they don't want to do or that they are not in favor of doing. Come on down. All right. Reaching out in love to Benjamin. Benjamin. Oh, that's the baby brother. Look at that. Oh, that was his dad's favorite brother, favorite son. Just like he was a favorite son at one time. To his brothers, and he's talking to his brothers. They're crying and weeping together. Don't be angry with yourselves. Don't be angry with yourself. Sometimes when you're going through things and you don't know what is happening, you can't get too bent out of shape. You need to keep relying on God. God's got a plan, and he's doing something. God's got a plan, and he is doing something. Be faithful. Stay there with him. Prayer, prayer, prayer. And thinking of prayer, let us pray. Our Father and Savior, Jesus Christ, thank you for this opportunity to speak the words to thy family and to thy listeners, Jesus. Thank you for this media of radio here in this house that you allow this servant to have. Be with us and guide us and keep us strong that we may continue to do your will. We thank you for the Sunday school. We thank you for the church service. We thank you for Reverend Oliver and Sister Oliver who toil to hold us church family together as we need to be. Thank you for our members that still coming faithfully on the Sundays and parking in their cars and listening to the services. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given this staff servant Freddie to bring the lesson to them every week on the internet. We hope it will be a blessing to them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for what's going on in this nation. We thank you for this president and the toils and strife that is taking place in this nation. But you are working out something. You are bringing on change. We know that you were on your way back, and there's a lot of things that man don't understand. Let us not lean to our own understanding, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And we thank you for my family and all of those that are around me. We thank you, Jesus, for what we're doing with the PACER organization. We thank you for what we're doing with the Beatrice Legacy newspaper that we started. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you for the days that we go out and work in the garden. Mr. Moore, my sister Willanelle, my wife Mary, Dr. Shelton, all of those that are around of us, the newspaper editors out of New York, Mr. Fluker and Mr. Garrett, we thank all of them for being here for us and being a part of our lives. Let us be able to reach and do some powerful things. We thank you for the new friend that we befriended, a Republican lady that's from Alabama, that has a different perspective on what other people say about black folks. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Be with us and guide us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thoughts to remember. Oh, man. Let us begin. How does that sentence end? In Western world, even people who haven't seen any of the Star Wars movies probably know to fill in farther, yet Darth Vader shows Luke Skywalker no love. How about that? How about you? Is there anybody that you don't show any love? Joseph had experienced just that. At the root of all his struggles in Egypt were those who had sent him to that place to begin with, his brothers. So like Darth Vader in this one respect, Joseph hid his identity. Yet the revelation of Joseph's true identity had quite a difference overcome from that of Darth Vader's revelation. Lesson in context. Lesson three. This is lesson four we're into now. Lesson three covered the first trip that Joseph's brothers made to Egypt without Benjamin. Genesis 42, 6 through 25 verse. That's the 42nd chapter, 6 through 25th verse. Though they returned with food, it is inevitable ran out, and the brothers were faced with traveling to Egypt again, but they knew they could not return without Benjamin. Jacob, however, was still very reluctant to allow Benjamin to go. Finally, after Judah guaranteed Benjamin safety and offered to bear the blame should Benjamin not return, Jacob relented. That's in verses chapter 43, verses 1 through 14. When the brothers arrived in Egypt, they first spoke to Joseph's steward about the silver that had been found in their sack. He assured them that all was well. Later, Joseph released Simon and fed the brothers their meal. He then sent them back to Canaan with more supplies, but he also instructed his stewards to place each man's silver in his sack. He did it again, in addition to the great, to put Joseph's special cup into Benjamin's sack. All right, Joseph is doing some things here with his brothers in regards to finding out who they are, what they are, where they, the integrity of the heart, or whether they are the same brothers that put him in their well. That's what these things are being done for, to find out the character of his brothers. That's the same thing with you. People do things around you to find out who you are. They want to know who you are. What's your character like? Are you a scoundrel? Are you a good person? Are you faithful? Do you love people? What is it about you? People want to know. After Joseph told his brothers that Benjamin would have to remain in Egypt, Judah stepped forward and voiced an impassionate plea to keep Benjamin in Egypt. Such an action would break his father's heart to the point of causing his death. Judah offered himself in place of Benjamin. This act represented a drastic departure from the way Judah had treated Joseph those many years before. Look at that. Change of heart. A forgiving heart. God knows when your heart changed. When you ask God for forgiveness, he knows whether or not you are repenting and you really mean it. God, what a way of working in your heart. Perseverance in tragedy and struggles brings character to the heart. All right. Privacy demanded. We know that Joseph sent the brothers, everybody else away in the room. Why did he talk to his brothers? They wept aloud into the Egypt herd's house. They heard him crying. They wondered, Joseph and these people crying about? The house of Pharaoh must have wondered why they heard such intense weeping. All right. Truth and knowledge. And Joseph said unto his brother, I am Joseph. Look at that. Doth my father live? He's asking the question, and his brother could not answer because they were just stunned. Okay. Brothers assured, they're assured. Come near to me, I pray ye, and come near. And they came near and said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. What a revelation. All right. Dealing with guilt and conscience. How do you deal with the guilt and conscience? Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What about your life, your own personal life? How do you deal with it? Something that you did wrong, you know was wrong, and you may still be doing wrong. How do you deal with that? Dealing with guilt, the conscience. How do you square that up? How do you take care of that? How do you get that squared away in your heart so that you are doing right and you are being right by God and your fellow man and your brothers and sisters? Especially when it's with family. How do you square that up? Huh? How do you do it? Okay, let us continue. All right, most of us can speak from experience about the pain of a loved one's hurtful impulses, actions, or even crude patterns of behavior. Perhaps we are even willing to admit the times we have been the one who hurt others. I'm thinking about the times in my past when I worked at Holman Prison, and I was the caretaker of my aunt, Aunt Maddie, and her son, Eddie Howard, up here in Riley Crossing. Those were some trying, troubled times that I was going through. I was working at the prison on different shifts, and I still had to take care of them. There were nights and times that I came and really wore out and tired, but I still had to go take care of them to prepare meals or clean bed or change their bedding or whatever they needed, I had to do it. And sometimes they said things to me, Lord, it hurts so bad. But there's nothing I could do. All I could do was cry and continue because this is my family. This is my father's sister and her son. And I am the one God has led to be there and help them. All right. That's just something that I'm letting you know that we all go through situations. And I didn't hold that against them, even though it hurt me what they said and sometimes did. But God is still good, and I came out of it, and I'm better for it. It is important for transgressors to confess and repent of what they have done. It is also important for the repenter to realize and accept the fact that they have been forgiven. Looking ahead to Genesis 50, verse 15, gives us a glimpse of how heavily the troubled consciences of Joseph's brothers continue to weigh on them after Joseph's kind words in our text. Oh, sometimes you just won't let it go. You let it stay with you. God let it stay with you for a reason, though. And we hope that whatever you are grieving about and that wrong that you've done and you've been forgiven and that you are accepting it in your heart, because God will accept it. God accepted it, so you accept it as well. Don't beat your head over it. Don't beat your head over a rock because of the wrongs that you're doing. Everybody do wrong, God forgives. But you honestly ask God for forgiveness, you apologize, and you told the person you asked for forgiveness, and it's going to be all right. Yet the reconciliation story doesn't focus on the sins of Joseph's brothers or even their remorse. Instead, the story highlights Joseph's response. That response suggests that God may be interested in the consciousness of the victim as he is in the consciousness of the perpetrator, in other words, the person that's doing it. What's your conscience saying to you right now? All right. Let's go to verse 6. For there were 2 years, he goes on to tell them about the famine and how long it's going to be and that it's going to be rough there. And God sent me here to prepare a place to be a head runner for you, to be a head for you, to hedge away for you, to take care of you. In other words, remember, he's planting a seed. God is planting a seed. All right, let's go to verse 8. So now that it was not yet that you sent me hither, but God. Look at that. God sent me here. All right. You think you sent me here, but God did. Relay an instruction to come to Egypt. This is where he's telling his brothers to take this message back to his father, to come to Egypt. Come to Egypt. Bring all that you got, everything that you got, your herd, your flock, everything. Bring it with you. Oh, I got a place for you here. And there will I nourish you. Oh, look at that. I will nourish you. I'm repeating, but I'm driving the point home of what it is. To confirm his identity. Oh, Joseph confirmed his identity with his brothers. All right. To convince his father, go and convince my father to come on down to Egypt. All right. Joseph wanted Jacob to know that far from being rent in pieces, Genesis 37, 35, Joseph had risen in glory to an esteemed position in Egypt. The brothers were to report all that they had seen and to order to verify that they said of what was said of Joseph and was absolutely true. Joseph being urged them to bring Jacob to Egypt as quickly as possible. Look at that. There was no time to waste. The great deliverance, Genesis 45 and 7 above, that was being accomplished by God would foreshadowed the great deliverance that he was later brought about under Moses' exodus. Oh, what did I tell you? Look at that. You'll find that in Exodus, the 12th chapter, verses 31 through 36. The planning of a nation is taking place now. Most people don't realize it, but this is what's taking place. God knows what's going on. Ironically, the migration of Joseph's extended family to Egypt was to set the stage for the event. Look at that. One day the Egyptians is going to say there's too many of them. Oh, we got to get them out of here. Does that remind you anything about what's taking place in America? About us as a nation of people, black people in America? Oh, God is working out something. Be patient, be smart, and understand the principle. That picture is worth. I have a picture taken more than 30 years ago as a family reunion. On that occasion, my grandmother was celebrating her 96th birthday. That picture shows grandma, my father, me, and daughter, and her first child, all five generations in one photo. What a picture. Have you taken pictures of your family members and it has everybody right there? Oh, look at God. Be patient. A picture is worth a thousand words. Look at that. Joseph and his family back together and his father on the way back. Ooh, what a picture. What a picture. Started out from him being thrown in the pit, in the well. Oh, them brothers. And guess where it really started? It started when his moms and dad were favoring sons. Differences in the family. Civil rivalry, that's where it comes from. Guess where it starts? In the home. Are you doing it? Be mindful for the damage that it can cause. All right, reaching out in love to Benjamin. And he fell upon his brother's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. These brothers are reaching out in love and hugging each other and reassuring each other now. I'm sorry for what I did. Yeah. It's all good. Joseph's emotion once again came to the forefront as he embraced Benjamin. The feeling was mutual. Benjamin wept upon his neck as well. Oh, at one time, Joseph was his father's favorite son. Look at here now. Here is the baby son that the father finds favor with him again. And these two favorite sons of their father are weeping together. Look at that. What a powerful message. To his brothers. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with them. They sit down and talk. What do you think? Under what circumstances, if any, are emotions best kept private? Why? Sometimes everybody don't need to know your business.
Sometimes everybody do not need to know your business. There. Something God wants you to keep private. How about that? Something you would like to keep private, all right? Let's dig a little deeper. Which scripture passage support your conclusion? These exchanges followed by extensive preparation for the trip to Canaan and back. Genesis 45:16-23. Which scripture passage support your conclusion? And he fell upon his brother's Benjamin neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon Israel. Joseph's emotion once again came to the forefront as he embraced Benjamin. The feelings were mutual, for Benjamin wept upon him. Oh, look at that. Whoa. All right. Don't be angry. The conclusion is don't be angry with yourselves, with what's going on. If you know what's going on and you reconcile your situation and you are and I prayed about it, you have asked for forgiveness to who you wronged, don't be angry at yourself. God will take care of it, and he'll take care of you. Imagine yourself standing before Jesus, who has asked you to draw near, as Joseph told his brothers, and draw near to him. Genesis 45:4. Jesus speaks and says, I am Jesus, whom you crucified. Look at that. Your sins are the reason I gave my life as a sacrifice on the cross. But don't be angry with yourself. I want to forgive you, not condemn you. I want to forgive you, not condemn you. Jesus does indeed say this, and he meant it. God will forgive. Don't hold stuff against your brothers and sisters or against another person. Forgive. Forgive. Just like Jesus forgave, God forgave. And guess what? If you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Joseph's words about God's higher purpose being carried out can also be applied to Jesus. Men killed him because they wanted to reverse his influence, dishearten his followers, and destroy the movement he had begun. But God accomplished a great deliverance through the cross and the empty tomb. Look at that. Look at that. A great deliverance.
reconnected us back to the Father God, because Satan had beguiled Eve, and Eve had told her husband, Eden, they had broke the connection between God and his creation and in his and his people. God loves us. All right. All right. His influence disheartened his followers and destroyed the movement he had begun. But God accomplished a great deliverance through the cross and the empty tomb. As Peter told the crowd gathered on the day of Pentecost, Jesus being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified the slain whom God had raised up. He was telling the Jewish people as to what they had done, the Pharisees and all the church leaders. That makes you think about all the church leaders today. How right do you, are they? Since they come out of Europe and out of the European type of government, what do you think of the Catholics and those things like that? What do you think about the presidents and the vice president, people that are being raised up by God to lead this nation at this time? Be mindful. Know your history. Read and know what God is doing. As best of your knowledge, go to God's Word. Read Revelations. Read Revelations over and over and get the understanding about what's coming in the days ahead. Salvation is truly a gift of God's grace. Look at that. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. It must be received as such without our placing conditions on it that God himself has never placed. Don't put God in no box. God can do anything that he wants to. All right. Don't be angry with yourself. Like Joseph's brothers, you need to accept forgiveness. All right. We thank you for listening for today. And thoughts for you to remember. God has revealed his love to us. Are we revealing it to others? How about that? How about that? What are you doing to show love to other people? Antioch members, even though we're not meeting every Sunday in the church and shaking hands and hugging and camaraderie together inside of the sanctuary, you're still meeting. Are you showing love to others? Are you? Are you? I think about the boxes of food that are being distributed, how sometimes different people deliver them and take them to different places, and folks be calling and wondering, is such and such one got a box? Is this one got a box? That's showing love. That's showing you reaching out. Okay? Thank you. Father, thank you for revealing your loving forgiveness to us through Jesus' death and resurrection. Father, thank you for revealing your loving forgiveness to us through Jesus' death and resurrection. Help us to forgive others as we have been forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you all for listening to the lesson. Next lesson will be October 4th, will be lesson number 5, Love That Intercedes. Your devotional reading going to come from Matthew's, the 5th chapter, 43rd, verse 3 to 48. Your background scripture will be 1 Samuel, the 19th chapter, verses 1 through 7, the 23rd chapter, verses 1 through 8, and 2 Samuel 9. All right. Love that intercedes. All right. We thank you for listening, and all of us here at House Production Gospel Blog Talk Radio, on behalf of those at Antioch Baptist Church, Pastor Oliver and Sister Oliver and all of the church family at Antioch Baptist Church in Tunnel Spring. You take care and God bless. God be with you and be safe. See you next time on the Sunday School lesson from Antioch Baptist Church in Tunnel Spring. We're coming to you from 231 6th Avenue, down south here in Beatrice, Alabama. Thank you.